Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
I go to Ozark Christian College currently. I'm a senior, about to graduate, and then I'm moving to New Hampshire to be a middle school minister like Emily to some students out there.
Oh, snap! Anybody been to New Hampshire before? Yeah! Only adults, I think. So yeah. You got a great life ahead of you. Maybe New Hampshire's
their state motto
in the future.
Is live free or die.
Whoa! So,
pretty intense. Pretty intense people.
But I like it. Okay. Final thing I'll ask you. Mm-hmm. When you were in middle school,
okay,
what were you like? Like, what were you like?
What was I like? Oh my goodness. Probably people would probably say different things. I was crazy.
Anybody in here crazy?
Crazy. Yeah.
I know.
I was probably on the obnoxious side of crazy.
Anybody here obnoxious?
Okay.
Know thyself.
But I also loved ramen noodles. That's like all I ate in middle school.
Yeah. The food of champions.
Right? Kept me going.
That thing could survive
all
a storm.
All those B's and C's and
that. Without
and
the package, it could survive a storm. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here. I would love for us together to pray for Alexia before she speaks to us tonight. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for Alexia. Thank you for her friendship and for the message that she has prepared tonight to speak to us. I pray that we would have ears to hear. And that Alexia, in all of her study and preparation, would yield these words to you tonight. Thank you for these students, and thank you for Alexia. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so like we just introduced myself, I am Alexia. Some of you already know me because I interned here a few years ago, so I know about the 7th and 8th graders, some of you. Some of you I'm a complete stranger to, and that's fine. Hopefully you get to know me just through this message a little bit. But when I find myself scrolling through social media, I'm a Pinterest girl. I don't know if any of you all are, but I typically come across these pictures that have statements on them, and they usually say, when in doubt. And the one that I see a lot is, when in doubt, keep going. And there's usually like a little dory or something, you know, just keep swimming. Well, every time I see that, I'm always like, why do I need a little picture to tell me just to keep moving through life? But my question for you this evening is, have you ever doubted? Or a follow-up question with that would be, what do you do when you are in doubt? And for some of you, you may not know how you feel or when you are in those seasons of doubt, but I've got a few pictures for us to look at. But before we get to those, I want you all to stand up because we're gonna do a little interactive exercise here. So stand up. We can go ahead and throw that first picture up there. So when in doubt, chill out. Now do your best impersonation of chilling out. Chilling out. What are you doing? How do you chill out? You sit, you lay, you nap. There you go. Just like that. When I'm chilling out, I'm probably eating food. All right, what's the next one we got? When in doubt, just add glitter. Glitter? Where's your best glitter? Just pour in that glitter. Let me see it. There you go. I like it. Glitter on the world. Okay, what's that next one we got? When in doubt, go work out. Can you do your best workout? We got some push-ups. We can do some squats. You can do some jumping jacks. I'm personally a runner. I'd rather just go run. All right, what's the next one? When in doubt, dance it out. Yeah? Let's see your best dance move. All right, and then the next one. When in doubt, make funny faces by my favorite actress, Amy Poehler. So what's your best funny face? I always see little kids do, you know, like this one. It's really creepy and scary. Good for Halloween. And the next one, when in doubt, go on vacation. So on three, I want you to tell me your favorite vacation spot. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. All right, you can have a seat. do you do any of those when you're in doubt? Do you make funny faces? Do you chill out? Do you dance? Do you do any of those? Yes, no? You can answer. Do you do any of those things when you are in doubt? Yes, no? I mean, I definitely add glitter on everything. I don't look like a glitter girl, but I'm a glitter girl. I like glitter a lot. I like putting it on. I like putting it on all stuff. But what should we do when we're in doubt? It's a great question. I'm going to answer it for you tonight. And I want to talk to you about this feeling of doubt. Because at times it's confusing, it's frustrating, and it's easy to give into. And we've all doubted something in our lives. And at some point, it could be doubting that you might win a game. You might be doubting that you're going to get an A on a paper. Or maybe for some of you, you've doubted that your grandparent will make it through an illness they have. Or maybe for you, you've doubted that your parents would even get back together. We've all experienced different types of doubt. I've experienced doubt. You all have experienced doubt. Emily's experienced doubt. Everyone in this room at some point has experienced a form of doubt. And you will continually through life experience those moments. We all have them. We all have those moments when we feel uncertain and confused about the outcome of a situation. That's the type of doubt we're talking about tonight. When you don't know what the outcome's going to be and you doubt that it's going to be anything good. So I want to talk to you about someone that some of you might know, but we're going to look at a life of a man named Job. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Some of you might have heard of him. Some of you might know a thing or two about him, but I want to tell you a story from Job's life. So let me tell you about this Job guy. So one normal day, Job was just minding his business, you know, probably clipping his toenails or whatever they did in the olden days, when one of his servants came up to him and said, Job, the Sabians stole your oxen and donkeys. And before Job could even give them an answer, another servant of his shows up and is like, Job, there was a fire and your sheep died. And then again, before he could even react or give them a response, another servant comes up and yells, Job, the Chaldeans stole all of your camels. So all of these things keep happening. And again, before he can respond, another servant comes with probably the worst news that he's going to hear, that there was a strong wind. And a servant says, Job, your sons and daughters have tragically died in a house that collapsed. And without hesitation, Job falls on the ground and he worships God. He did not choose to sin in this moment. Rather, he decided to fall on the ground and worship God. But this wasn't the end of the tragic events in Job's life. Soon after, he became afflicted with painful sores from his feet to his head. And I know in your minds you're thinking, ew, yes, it's gross, but you need to know that even in this affliction and pain and physical illness, Job still decided to worship and not sin God. He's not just a random guy. For those who know, you know that he's a man from the Old Testament, from our Bibles, and he suffered greatly. But in his life, he remained faithful, even in those moments of pain and losing everything he had, he didn't give in to his doubts. And in the book of Job in the Old Testament, we see that Job then has to go through 24 chapters worth of telling his friends that they're wrong and that God is still good and that God is not punishing him. Do you imagine losing everything you have, everything, including your family, and then you have to go and convince your friends that God is still on your side and that you are not giving in to any doubts that they have about him. He continues to worship God. He continues to tell his friends that he's wrong, even when he's lost everything and his physical pain from disease is now getting worse and he feels so lonely and lost, he continues to stand up for God even when his friends convince him he's wrong. But our lives, they're not always gonna look like Job's. We're not gonna look exactly like him. We're not gonna mirror life of him, but we will come across suffering, doubt, pain. And many of you in this room have probably been in situations where you've thought to yourself, God, there's no way you've let this happen to me. There's no way. Or maybe you have spent nights praying and crying to God for something good to just finally come your way, or for God to just do something good in your life because everything has seemed so negative and tragic. Or maybe you've just given up on God completely. Maybe you're coming in here tonight and you're like, I don't even know what God can do. There's been nothing good in my life. I'm just giving into these doubts, these feelings where I don't think he can do something good. And you've chosen to give up on him, or you want to give up on him. But my goal tonight is to let you all know that you all cannot give in to those doubts. You cannot let them overcome you. Because God is still there. He's still here. He's still good. He's still present. And he still cares for you. Even in your pain and your suffering and your loss, God has still met you in the middle. And when it feels like God is just completely gone, he's not. So in Job chapter 40, we see Job and his friends are going back and forth, and one of his friends goes on this long tangent, and then God finally speaks. And in Job 40, 1 through 4, it'll be on the screen. It says this, "The Lord said to Job, 'Will the one who contends with me, the Almighty, correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him.' Then Job answered the Lord, 'I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth.'" So God calls out to Job. He's listening to Job this whole time that Job's going through all of this, after he loses everything and has to fend for himself against his friends. God is always listening, and God meets Job in this pain and suffering. And then in chapter 41, verse 11, God says to Job, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me." So God will meet you in your crying, and he will meet you in your loneliness, your confusion, your frustration. I know everyone in this room at some point has felt confused or frustrated with situations in life, whether it was getting the bad grade that you thought you wanted, losing the game you thought you were gonna win, losing the friend that you thought was so close to you. You have felt a sense of confusion and asking to yourself, why? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? But even through that, God is listening to you. And his presence was with Job in his doubting, and his presence is with you in your doubting. We have a God who cares about us and loves us and wants to comfort us. But at times, we have to change our posture. We can't just sit there and mourn and ask God consistently why before we fall on our knees and we worship. God calls out to Job, and Job shuts his mouth and he listens. It says in chapter 40, verse 4, that Job puts his hands over his mouth. He covers his mouth so he can sit patiently and listen to what God has to say to him. So in doubt of God and his plan, we see that Job still sits back and listens. But for us, when we doubt God and his plan, that something good will happen, what do we do? How do we imitate Job? I have one line for you tonight, and it's gonna go back to those slides we heard. I want you to think of making your own slide with the statement, "When in doubt, fall on your knees and worship." So I wanna tell you a story about a time that I had to fall on my knees and worship. So about 4 years ago, my nephew, his name's Carter, was born, and we found out he was gonna be born with a hole in his heart, a heart defect. And so he had a fine birth. My sister-in-law was able to give birth to him just fine, but we found out just weeks after, so he's still an infant, that he was gonna have to have open heart surgery. And I struggled with this because I was still in high school And I was so excited. It was my first nephew. You know, babies are so cute and they're so precious. They're so innocent. And I couldn't get myself to figure out how in the world a doctor was going to do an open heart surgery on such a small baby. And not just any small baby, a small baby that I have gotten to hold, a small baby that was connected to me through blood, my nephew, who even looks like me, which made it a little bit harder because I felt extra connected to him because I was just around him after he was born. But in those moments, I remember, you know, my sister-in-law and my brother having to travel up to the children's hospital. I'm from Indiana, so it's different than the children's hospital you all use, but it was hours away. And I was home alone, and I just remember falling on my knees before God, crying, because I didn't want anything to happen to my nephew in this surgery. I had to do three things in those moments of doubt that something good was going to come out of this. I had to trust God that he had prepped these doctors to do the surgery well, that they were going to allow my nephew to come through on the other end healthier than before and in a better place of health. So first I had to trust God. And then I had to listen to what scripture told me about God and that God would always be there, even in that moment of me crying, pleading to God on my knees in my bedroom to just let my nephew come through. I had to listen to what scripture told me, that God would come through and that he would always come through. And then I had to choose to thank God, even in the hardest moment, to be thankful that my nephew was my nephew. Thankful that I had a chance to have a nephew, to be around my nephew, no matter what that end result was going to be. I had to thank God, even in a time when it felt like God wasn't there, that God wasn't going to do anything good. So I had to thank God, I had to trust him, and I had to listen to what he says through his scripture. I had to fall before God in worship and know that I have no power to get myself through this suffering, that I have no power to get my nephew through this surgery. And I remember falling on my knees, crying, because I wanted so badly for my nephew to make it out. After his surgery, the next day, I got a call from my mom who was up there that he had made it through and they had to put a cow's artery in his heart just to keep him going. Now he's 5, and he is awesome in a ball of fire. And I miss him, so I'm trying not to cry. I don't get to see him very often. But I remember, every time I see him, I think back to that moment that I had to trust God, that something good was going to come out of something so scary in a moment where I doubted God so much. As you all go through your life, you're gonna find yourself in seasons of hurt and pain, in times when you are gonna wanna doubt God. You might even doubt God. You're gonna find yourself in hard moments. You're not gonna be able to hide from it. It's just part of our life. But not all of us are going to live lives that look like Job's. Your suffering's gonna look different. Your pain's gonna look different. But we should all live with the same attitude that Job has. It's an attitude that says honoring God is more important than giving up on him. That God will always come through and that we will always trust him even when it feels like he is nowhere around us. And we can show honor to God in our doubts in 4 different ways. We can be grateful. You can thank him for everything good that he has already done and not focus so much on the one bad thing that is pulling you down. You can trust him. You can trust him that he will always come through and he will always answer his promises and he will always lead you closer to Jesus. And then you can listen closely, whether it's on a Wednesday, on a Sunday, reading the Bible on your own, and just sitting quietly in God's presence, you can listen closely to him. So you can be grateful, you can trust God, you can listen closely, and you can fall on your knees and worship. Our God meets us in our doubts. He doesn't give up, and he can do all things. It does not matter how big our suffering seems to be. We cannot give up on him when life gets hard, and we need to fall to the ground before him. So I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. You've been working on different postures before God, and I think it's very fitting tonight that you all get on your knees and worship God physically. So I'm going to ask you all to go ahead and get down from your chairs and get on your knees. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be fun, but I ask you to focus. And if you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. I need you to imagine yourself at the feet of God, worshiping him, thanking him, trusting him, listening to him, whether it's the words you're listening to up here that are worship of him, or you're just sitting there quietly. I just ask you to stay still and stay focused. These next few songs, we're going to stay in this position, but I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to continue in worship. So let's bow our heads. God, thank you so much for meeting us in our pain and in our hurt. Thank you for proving yourself every time that you will come through, that you will always be there with us and that you never leave us. God, I ask tonight that you can just move in all of our hearts and remind us of how good you are and that you are the ultimate promise keeper and that we can trust and rely on your ways even when it feels like you are nowhere near us. God, I thank you for your heart for us and for sending your son to die for us and coming through on the ultimate promise of saving us from our sins. God, I ask that you forgive us for times that we doubt you and that you allow us to sit at your feet tonight and worship you. Thank you so much, God, for how you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.